Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
COVID in the Boston area wastewater increased 100% over the last 2 weeks, according to data from the Boston Public Health Commission. The commission's executive director, Dr. Bisola Ojikutu, expressed concerns that an uptick in COVID cases coupled with the start of the flu season could put more strain on already exhausted healthcare professionals. Now, that's especially primary care physicians, who are those family doctors that we are meant to see first, even when we get sick. And we have a shortage of them in Massachusetts. A new report from the National Academy of Medicine last week also says that high-stress work environments are driving doctors out of medicine 2 years into the pandemic. So, a lot of forces there. And the question is, how bad is the shortage and what does it mean for us? Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett is a family medicine physician and the vice chair of primary care innovation and transformation in the Department of Family Medicine at Boston Medical Center. And Dr. Christopher Garofalo owns Family Medicine Associates of South Attleboro. Doctors, thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having me.
So, Catherine, let's start with you. Explain what a primary care doctor is.
Such a great question. So primary care, you know, as you already alluded to, is really the front door of medicine. It's where people come to get continuous care. It's somebody who knows you. It's somebody who you have a trusted relationship with. Oftentimes, especially in family medicine, they take care of you from the time you're an infant to the time that you are in your grave. And really thinking about that sort of ability to take care of the complexity of problems in communities and build that trusting relationship, that is the core of primary care. So you know it when you have it, and people really feel that difference of what it means to have a primary care doctor. And I know we'll talk about some of the implications of not having primary care, but really it's the front door for all of medicine.
So actually, let's go right there to the implications of not having primary care. Dr. Christopher Garofalo, what happens in our healthcare environment, our ecosystem, when we don't have enough primary care physicians?
When we don't have enough primary care physicians, it makes it difficult for patients to get into that front door. When it's difficult to get into that door, patients often will forego care, and that includes both preventative care, such as getting screening tests like mammograms and colonoscopies, and also sick care. And, you know, we've seen this during the COVID pandemic where a lot of patients who put off getting their routine care are now coming back to us for care. And we're finding disease at a later stage when maybe it's more difficult to treat. I have a particular patient who had prostate cancer and he was being followed along and everything was under control. And he skipped a couple of years at his urologist's office because of COVID. And now his cancer has come back worse and it's going to be much more difficult to treat.
So
I think it makes it much more difficult for patients to get both of those types of care.
So we have a prevention issue when we have a shortage, Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett, and we have a mitigation issue.
Right.
Okay,
so
then a couple of other whammies that we have to add into this. First, the State Center for Health Information and Analysis, or CHIA, found that in 2020, we had total health care expenditures for the state at $62.6 billion. And that same year, spending on primary care was only $1.9 billion. Mm-hmm. So 62.6, 1.9. And then the Robert Graham Center found that more than 50% of primary care clinicians were burned out before
That's
the
right.
pandemic. Now we're looking at nearly three quarters.
Yeah.
That feels like a perfect storm of underspending, overburden at this front door where maybe so much could be prevented if it were wide open and easy to get through.
That's right. So I actually think you've named the issue very well. I think this mismatch of funding has been something that has been a long time coming in our country. We saw the cracks prior to COVID pandemic. We know that we spend about 5% of all healthcare dollars on primary care, but primary care sees 50% of visits.
So why?
Right? No. And well, I think we have to look very carefully at ourselves and the way we've set up our healthcare system, and really thinking about the way that business is done in healthcare and what gets reimbursed. We get reimbursed to do things to people, not to take care of people. So there is the business incentive. There is also this ethos that having people be healthy is not as, you know, sort of considered maybe as academic or as interesting of all the things we can do to take care of people when they're very sick. So we don't prioritize upstream care. We see this in public health. We see this in our public health infrastructure as well. How much are we investing in public health? We know that's what communities need to stay healthy. Same thing is true for primary care. So we have a huge underinvestment. You pointed out perfectly that burnout is at an all-time high. We saw 50% burnout prior to the pandemic. We're now at 71%. We have people leaving in droves. It is very hard to be a primary care physician right now doing this continuous care, given what Dr. Griffalo said in terms of all of the needs people have now, the mental health crisis, what we're being asked as primary care doctors to do. Our lists get longer and longer, and the time that we have to do it and our reimbursement rate isn't changing.
It's not keeping up. All right, so we are discussing the shortage of primary care clinicians in Massachusetts. You just heard Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett. Turning back to you, Christopher, you co-own Family Medicine Associates of South Attleboro. Are you exhausted? And are people in your practice exhausted?
I think we are exhausted on the one hand. I think, you know, having a small practice, though, it can be kind of invigorating, especially as a private practice. It does allow you a little bit more freedom. But there are definitely some exhausting aspects of it. One of the things that's really frustrating is, you know, we have to have one staff member whose sole duty is to do prior authorizations.
And that's insurance.
Medications. Yep, for insurance. So, you know, where that person could be doing so much more to get our patients in for their screenings, but instead they're, you know, taking time away from patient care and doing prior authorizations, which is one of the biggest causes of burnout. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind, that we have to acknowledge what the causes of burnout are and why people are wanting to leave.
So the other question that I'll ask you, Christopher, is in the community of primary care doctors that you know and talk to, are people leaving and what are you hearing from them?
People have been leaving. I know of more than a handful of people over the past couple of years who have left their traditional primary care family medicine practice, and they have opened up a direct primary care. So they do not accept insurance, and they have a smaller panel of patients that they take care of, where they get to give them more care and more time, which is really what our patients are looking for with us and one of the things that's missing. There have been several physicians I know who have gone off and done primary care in a direct primary care model.
So turning back to you, Catherine, of course, that raises equity issues. Yes. If you can afford a non-insurance-taking concierge model, then you get through this important front door that helps with both prevention and mitigation. You've talked about already this ratio of spending that we've got to kind of fix, what we incentivize in our healthcare spending environment. In our last couple of minutes, what else do we need to do to both stop this shortage and train new doctors who want to do this versus some other specialty when it comes time to make that choice?
That's right. So Christopher, you know, really put his finger, I think, on the administrative burden. So we know that that is a huge part. We need to separate that from what the primary care clinician does. We need to actually put our money where our mouth is. We keep talking about accountable care organizations and doing quality care and taking care of the whole patient, and yet we're still being paid in a fee-for-service by-visit model. That needs to be radical. radically disrupted. We could do that as a state tomorrow.
Meaning that somehow my relationship with my primary care doctor was funded in the whole versus each time I see my primary care
doctor. So you could actually get paid to take care of the whole person for what they need. It doesn't have to be necessarily coming in for an office visit. You could do a telephone call. You should be able to do a home visit. All of those things should be reimbursed. We need to be able to be innovative in primary care to actually truly take care of the needs of the community. We need to have things like community health workers. We need to be able to beef up our teams. Happily, MassHealth 1115 waiver that just came through on September 28th and has 5 years of funding is going to be putting more money into the system of primary care and behavioral health. The question is that enough? Is it going to be enough of a disruptor that we can actually stem the flow? It's really a hemorrhage right now that's happening in primary care. Can we rebuild the system? And then lastly, really thinking upstream, how do we ensure that people are going into primary care? How do we know that truly taking care of the whole person, having that relationship with a person, which to me is the total joy of my work, how do we actually allow people to taste that joy, truly have those longitudinal relationships, enough time to truly take care of families and people, and have people want to go into that after extremely expensive medical school training? How do we actually get loan repayment and things like that so that we know that people are going to go into it with the right reasons and keep their hearts and their passion open for that work?
All right. That is Dr. Catherine Gergen-Barnett, family medicine physician and vice chair of the Primary Care Innovation and Transformation in the Department of Family Medicine at Boston Medical Center, and Dr. Christopher Garofalo, co-owner of Family Medicine Associates of South Attleboro. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.